unless you're training specifically aerobics, trying to prepare for aerobics is difficult, because there's lots of fit people in our group, but the energy required, the muscles that are being used, even our fittest performers weren't quite ready for it until we got in here. So I'm really excited to see where we get to in a couple of weeks. They're all doing so well though.
Tēnā koutou, ngā hui e whahatino, harikoutaku nā kou e ke tia ia koutou. We're giving you a backstage pass, sharing insights about the mahi that goes into creating great theatre with Auckland Theatre Company. Come intrigued, leave inspired.
Kia ora and welcome to Backstage Pass. I'm Maxine London and I'm giving you a backstage pass to discover what it takes to create exceptional theatre in Aotearoa. Come on this journey with me as I talk to directors, actors, creators and designers and learn more about the work that goes on behind the curtain. We'll uncover juicy anecdotes from the rehearsal room, we'll dive deeper into important themes and we'll discover how much hard mahi it really takes to take plays from page to stage. Kicking off on February the 7th at ASB Waterfront Theatre is Hyperspace by Albert Bowles, a collab between Auckland Theatre Company and Te Pō Theatre. It's the play that's so kitsch it's cool, set in 1990s Aotearoa. It has a playlist as well that is really, really good if you love a good 90s throwback. It was put together by the writer Albert Bowles himself, and you should definitely check it out. Hyperspace director Tainui Tuki Waho joins me today. Tainui is a director, a producer, an actor, a writer, and is the winner of the 2023 Bruce Mason Playwright Award. Phew! Wow! First of all, congratulations!
Hey, thank you. Backstage Pass is a cool name. That's a good name.
Oh, thank you. You've obviously accomplished a lot in your career, but is there a moment that's like a particular highlight to you?
Yeah, yes, actually. We'd just come off making the largest show that we'd ever made, and that finished at the Auckland Arts Festival a week before we went into lockdown. And there was a lot of money that we had there. And then the first show, I think we were the first company in the country to start performing again. And so what we did was we created a show called Front Yard Festivals. And that was the least money we'd made a show with since we actually had an established company. And what we did then, and this is the thing I was proudest of, I found performers who were keen to engage with whānau, and we got a van and we drove to the houses of whānau members who couldn't move around still when we went into level two, and we sung and performed scenes at their lounge windows, so they just sat there and engaged with the shows from the safety of distance. And we did that for a few weeks, just driving around to different, mostly elderly, our nannies and corduroy houses, and doing performances for them.
That is so cool.
Yeah, I'm particularly proud of that one.
Yeah, especially, you know, you've had quite a lot of success in your career, and to have your career highlight as something so like wholesome and, and sweet like that, that's really cool.
Yeah, and it was just really highlighted or balanced against what I thought was a really successful moment in terms of us having all of the money that we'd hoped for to put something on. And I was like, yeah, that's what I was hoping for this whole time. And then lockdown just taught me a lesson that wasn't what I was hoping for this whole time. It was our ability to easily engage with our people.
Yeah, and I guess, like, you know, I say success, but success has so many different meanings, and that could be financial or how many audience numbers have or whatever, but it can mean, like, the impact that you have on, like, one person or one life, or, you know, there's so many different ways you can...
It was interesting doing shows to one person at a time. It was an interesting one. But also, some of our nannies were so lovely. Some people just would not take no for an answer in terms of distancing. And most of it was for their safety. Mm. But,
Oh, amazing. So in 2019, you directed another play by Albert Bowles, Astro Man. How does it feel coming into Hyperspace 5 years later?
It was 5 years later. Yeah. Cool, man. It's really fun. This play, Hyperspace, has the same energy as Astro Man did. It's just play. It's a fun thing. Albert's always been very good at having a heartfelt story woven into something playful happening, and that's what he's doing again in Hyperspace. And it is fun revisiting a family. So I understand, or like I've met these people before, but they're just at a different phase in their life, and we're focusing on somebody else in the family, that's all.
Mm. So other than, obviously, it's the same whānau that you're talking about, and, you know, there are similarities because it's kind of a continuation of that story. For those who saw Astroman, are there any similar themes or any other sort of similarities that they can expect to see?
I wouldn't say similar themes. I think it's more around the enjoyable tone. If you saw Astroman, then you might remember at the start of Astroman, and if you're of my generation, you probably would have enjoyed this as much as I did, but it opened with a dance number with people dressed up as different characters from video games, and the enjoyable tone, it was all just fun. That's all it was. There was nothing deeper. It was just performers enjoying themselves on stage, having a great time in a nostalgic space. And that's exactly what you're going to find here as well. But instead of video games, we're focusing on dance. So there's a really strong focus on the music, the playlist from the 90s, but also the different dance styles that we were doing in the 90s as well. Lots of stuff to be embarrassed about. It's exciting.
So the 90s, you know, were quite an iconic time in terms of fashion, music, dance, a whole lot of stuff. What were you doing in the 90s?
Oh, what was I doing in the 90s? I remember, was this the 90s? I think it was. There was this fad going around, and it was horrible, man. 89 or 90, I was in intermediate at the time, and everybody my age wanted to shave their heads except for having a really long fringe. So everybody grew fringes, like it's like a reverse rat's tail, and everyone grew fringes down to their chins and then shaved the rest of their heads. It was a horrible haircut, and so I was begging my parents to let me get that haircut.
Oh my goodness, I can't imagine.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad.
So other than, well, hopefully not going to make any of the cast members shave their heads, but are you going to bring anything from your experience of the 90s to hyperspace?
I did that in Astroman, because Astroman was designed for me and Albert, geeky boys playing video games.
Yeah.
This plays not for me. This plays for my sister. So the fashion, the music, the dancing for my sister and my cousins, for the wahine and my whānau, that's who I'm aiming this show at. And the whole family will enjoy it, but my own personal nostalgia isn't going to live in here. I'm going to remember the haircuts my sister had, remember the way that my family used to dress, their engagement, their energies, the way that they, the things they thought were funny. Yeah, that's where I'm aiming this one.
Sweet. Can you kind of run me through the hyperspace storyline on kind of a basic level?
Yep, hyperspace storyline on a basic level is there is a young woman named Natalie Terehua who is determined to live out her dream, and her dream is to dance. And there are, like in all good dramas, there are hurdles stopping her from being able to achieve this dream, and she's so bullheaded. She charges through each one of those hurdles. And what I really like about the theme of this in terms of how much would you sacrifice for your dreams, that this show really tests our boundaries of what we would accept and how much we will allow the people we love to sacrifice in order to achieve their dreams as well.
Mm. There's a line quite early on in the script which says something along the lines of, to work as a team, there needs to be trust, respect and care for one another. So how do you create an environment or a team where the cast can kind of build this trust and respect for one another?
I think we're lucky, particularly here at Te Pou, where we have found structure in our culture that we can apply to our art form. And so that makes it a little bit simpler for us. So in terms of creating a unit or creating whānau, there's processes in place already. And which is why our rehearsal is so rigid in terms of its process or its ceremony, I would say. So the importance of karakia, not being a religious space, but as a an atonement to bring everyone into the same space to start with, to have clear discussion. And I also think the importance in sharing mana in leadership in the room empowers everybody as well. And it's particularly easy in this show because I have Jack Gray as the choreographer who holds mana in the space with the physical, in the physical space. And so I get to do karakia, I get to mihi and see how everyone's feeling, and the mana goes straight to Jack and he holds mana for the first half of the show and then he'll pass it back. But at any other point during the day, one of the performers, one of our babies might have more mana in the space because their knowledge of te reo or kapahaka or kaupapa is higher than the rest of us, our stage manager. It shifts around quite fluidly. All of those little things is how you lead towards, well, how we lead towards creating a team that feels empowered.
Mm, and do you find that having that empowered team and sort of shared respect builds chemistry on stage as well?
What I do think, it builds safety on stage. Everyone having that shared respect and mutual mana, and when people are working together to enhance each other's individual power, then it means everyone plays better. They all have a better time on stage because they know anything that comes out of somebody else's mouth or physically is coming from a safe place all the time.
So there's a moment where Tawhai and Natalie, they have quite a moment, which is quite intimate, and that's where kind of their bond and friendship kind of builds. Mm. How do you create a safe space where the actors can build that and feel safe in an environment to do that?
In this particular instance, it worked out because we create that space outside of the work. So it's the way that we engage with each other as humans. So often we'll talk about what sort of humaning we're doing at the moment. And if we get all of the humaning right outside of the mahi, then when people get up on the floor, that's what they're engaging with, the humans that they've felt comfortable with. They often come, other than that, we'll play games. The first week we played heaps and heaps of games, but also that was about the humaning as well.
Going back to one of the themes that's quite evident throughout hyperspace of what are you willing to sacrifice for your dream? Can you talk a little bit more about how that plays out?
In the show?
Mm.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, like I was saying before, the character Natalie, who we're following, she's the big sister of the character that we followed in Astro Man. So just for context, in Astro Man, there were twins and Natalie. That was the family dynamic. And in hyperspace, one of the twins is still with Natalie. And there's Natalie's best friend. So that's the tight trio there. And the story is designed around this young girl who has medical complications and she wants to achieve a certain level in dance. And she's surrounded by these two people who really love her. And it does come to a head where you are challenged as to whether you can still enjoy or follow this lead character. And it's about, and this is what I think is interesting, the time that it comes to a head is when she really knuckles down and decides that her dream is more important than anything else. And then you see her make that decision and you see her brother realize that her dream is more important than his love, and her dream is more important than her whole family wanting to be around her. And that's a heartbreaking moment to see. And I really like that we get to watch these characters go to real extremes about trying to achieve their greatest desires.
Yeah. Mm. How do you think the audience is going to react?
Well, in that particular instance, one of our babies in the group, Makanihi, when we were debriefing afterwards, she was really mad at Natalie. She was talking about it. She's like, I really like the acting. I thought that scene was good, but Natalie just needs to sort her shit out. I was like, does she, Baba? And she's like, yep. She just needs to listen to her family. What's she doing? And she was quite upset with the lead character. And I thought that was a really interesting position to take. And I think she was voicing what a lot of our audience will be voicing, because you can't fault somebody for wanting to achieve a dream.
Yeah.
That's something that we can understand, the pursuit of a dream and wanting to reach the goal that you've been aiming for your whole life. And there's the push and pull happens in that moment where you have to choose between something as great as your family and your dream.
What do you hope that the audience is going to take away from this?
There's lots of nice stuff happening in it, but I really just want people to walk out happy. Yeah. It's a bright, colourful, playful show. My desire is for So I'll always have a few people in mind when I make a show. Because I can't please everyone, I'll think of a couple of people. So I have my sister and I have my cousin Ebony. And neither one of them are theatre goers. Neither one of them are from this world at all. They're very staunch Māori wahine who don't engage in this type of space. And so if I can get them to free up and enjoy themselves, if I know if I can hit them, then everyone else I'll be okay with. But so as long as I can crack their hard outer shells and get them to remember the nuances of the 90s, those things that were funny, then I know they'll walk out having a great time with the rest of the audience. But there'll be some sad moments. There'll definitely be sad moments. But the thing I want people driving away with is having a laugh, trying to find some 90s songs. They might go, oh, I was sad when this thing happened, eh? Yeah, but the overwhelming experience I want is for people to have a good time.
Mm. There's another key theme which I'd like to touch on a little bit, where both Tawhai and Natalie as characters find like quite a bit of solace and kind of escape through dance and through aerobics. Mm. Do you think that art on the whole is kind of a way that we can process the things that we go through in our daily lives?
Yes. Yeah. But all art, not just theatre, I think like music plays a huge, huge part in our ability to process things. I don't think something like dance, I actually don't think it's valued enough in our society, but it's hugely, highly, highly beneficial in order for just to move your body shifts things inside you, and it empowers us intellectually as well, but I don't think it's given enough mana in our society right now. Like, it was a huge deal when dance became part of the high school curriculum. I remember that was in the 90s. I remember that happening, and I remember people having huge opinions about it because it wasn't valid enough for it to be there. But so I can understand why these characters find peace in dance. I can understand why that's the form that these two people chose to want to express themselves with.
It's quite a brave move as well, especially considering that, and that dance isn't necessarily valued or respected in the way that it perhaps should be. And it's quite brave of Tawhai and Natalie to bring this kind of haka fusion to what would have been a very white art form of aerobics. Can you talk a little bit about how that would have gone down in the 90s?
How would that have gone down in the 90s? I actually think people are more outraged nowadays than they were in the 90s. They wouldn't have been outraged. People would have been, I can imagine people would have been confused or just been told those weren't the rules. But I think we're a bit more sensitive now than we were then. By thinking back to the 90s, as a young Māori, racism was more blatant and there was less space for us to explore our culture, absolutely. But I wouldn't be surprised if it wouldn't have made the news in the 90s, to be honest. Nowadays, it would probably make the news. If it had never happened before and then Māori put kapa haka into aerobics, people would celebrate or would talk about it, whether we celebrate it or not.
Mm.
But I think back then it could have easily just got ignored.
Yeah, interesting. Can you share a little bit of about the prep work that goes on before rehearsals get started?
I was quite lucky with this show because I've gone on this journey with the Te Rehua Whānau with Albert for years. So when he was writing Astro Man, he and I are great friends and we talked about it a lot. We went over to Melbourne and to the opening of Astro Man when it was at the Melbourne Theatre Company, and we went to Christchurch to watch that show there. And then Hyperspace was being written, so I was in dialogue with him about the creation of Hyperspace and workshopping the show before we actually stood it up. So my relationship with prep for this show was actually quite different. I've been doing it for a long time, which is not a luxury we always get to have. We often don't have years and years and years to understand character and story. So I hope that pays off when we get the show to the stage. But the prep when it comes to aerobics is a different discussion, because Natalie's dream isn't just dance, but it's proving herself as a dancer through aerobics competitions. And man, the actors are doing such an amazing job. But it did have to start last year. our lead actors had to come in with our choreographer to go through exactly what aerobics is and how different that is from dancing, different dancing styles. Unless you're training specifically aerobics, trying to prepare for aerobics is difficult because there's lots of fit people in our group, but the energy required, the muscles that are being used, even our fittest performers weren't quite ready for it until we got in here. So I'm really excited to see where we get to in a couple of weeks. They're all doing so well, though. Aerobics is hilarious. And the more serious that people take it, the funnier it is to watch.
Yeah.
It's so good. Yeah, it's so good.
Oh, so good. How has your personal, like, directing style influenced how you come into hyperspace?
Oh, what a good question. Well, like I've mentioned before, because Albert and I have had a relationship with this show, my personal directing style works for this show because I understand how Albert works. And also, to be fair, Albert understands how I work as well. So I've worked on 6 different pieces that Albert's written, and also some other, also some television stuff. So I understand his work quite well. And because we understand each other's style, it was actually quite easy to slip into the show, as it was Astro Man 5 years ago as well. Yeah, oh. So my style aligns quite well.
Yeah.
My directing style aligns quite well with the way the storytelling works.
And how would you describe your directing style?
I like to be fluid and to have fun with stuff. And this particular show is lots of fun, and it allows space. Well, also, knowing my mate, I have fluidity within the space that I can reconsider things, and I'll call him up and say, bro, can I try this out instead? Can we try that? So if I use Astro Man as an example, if you saw Astro Man, that dance number with the video game characters at the start was something we created, but there was also a character called Takanini Fellow Girl, and Brady Pearcey played her, and she ended up singing Eye of the Tiger. And that was a place where Albert and I had a bit of conflict over, because I thought it would be cool for Brady to sing it, and it says in the script that it's played while the main character acts out winning a video game. And so we rubbed up against each other quite a bit over that one. And then when Brady first stood up and started singing it, the audience lost their minds, and my mate Albert leant over and said, you were right. But we did go back and forth over. He's like, I don't like it, man. I don't like it. Yeah. Just give me a chance. Give me a chance. It'll be all right.
Yeah.
It'll be okay.
Jack Gray, he's quite like an iconic Kiwi choreographer too. How do you find working with him and kind of balancing the vision and making sure that you're aligned and that everything comes together in a cohesive way?
He is iconic. I don't know if anyone's seen it yet, but there are videos online from the 90s, I believe, when Jack was doing aerobics and he was competing for the national championship. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. So there are videos of a 19-year-old Jack competing in aerobics, which is why we got Jack specifically for this. But when it comes to alignment, I've known Jack for many, many years, and we connect as friends first, as human beings first. So that's a real easy relationship to create. And then when it comes to mahi, we've had little blips in the road, though, asking for stuff. Generally me asking for stuff and it not being quite right, and then go, okay, well, I need to shift that here. But we've had a long enough friendship that it's really simple, really, really very simple to create art with my friend, because I think he's great. So it's really easy to say yes when he's like, should we do this? I'm like, yeah, we should totally do that. And something amazing always comes up. Yeah, I'm really privileged to be surrounded by my friends. It's the same in our lighting and set designer. They're a duo that work together from Filament 11, but Brad, one of the duo I've known since I was 17, we went to Unitech together, and David, who's doing the music, we've been friends for a long time as well, and then Jack's choreographing it, and then Albert, the writer, our producer from Te Pou, Amber, they're all a team of friends who I've known, who I have a lot of respect for and have known for a very, very long time. So it makes all of that collaboration stuff a lot easier nowadays.
Yeah, I find that so interesting, because I feel like when it comes to working in a professional manner with your friends, it can go either way. It can go either really well or really badly.
Yeah, that is true.
Have you ever come across any sort of challenges where it has impacted your friendships or something that you've had to work through?
Yeah, all the time. All the time. Well, I think that's a good thing about it. If you're really good friends, you'll argue. And that's okay. You're allowed to argue. You're allowed to rub up against each other and disagree. But you're still friends at the end of it. And, yeah, we'll always clash. But that's where the good art gets made, I think. We just know where the line is. Argue, me tautohe te kaupapa kaua ko te tangata is a kiwaha, which is argue the point, not the person. And so if we manage to stick to that, we're all good.
Yeah. Has there been a case where you found that you can't stick to that?
Oh, yeah. Somebody will say a mean thing and, like, real good human things happen in general.
Yeah.
But if you've been friends long enough, you'll just say, that was stink. And they'll go, yeah, I'm sorry for being stink. I'm sorry too.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, that's I think that's so important, especially so that you can continue to create really cool work, especially because, you know, the arts community in New Zealand, it's pretty little.
but also the work secondary to the relationships as well. It shouldn't get to that place, because the work's not as important as the humans that we engage with and the people we're spending our lifetime with often. And the list of people that I mentioned, those are people who I have just engaged with over the years. Like a lifetime, built relationships with you. So there's no one show that'll be the reason we're not friends anymore.
Yeah, for sure. That's great. Thank you so much for the kōrero. I've definitely learned a lot and had a great time chatting with you. As I say, I can't wait to see Hyperspace on stage. It is going to be epic, I think. Hyperspace previews start on February 7th, and you can get tickets at atc.co.nz.
Thank you for joining us for Backstage Pass. If you enjoyed the episode, be sure to share it with your theatre-loving friends and hit subscribe for more insightful conversations. Ngā manaakitanga. Come intrigued, leave inspired.